enchanté.
Welcome back, Whitey Tidies, to another Two Tight Ends podcast. I'm your co-host, Neil, and today we have a man who is just like Steve Kerr in the fact that he's very underrated. It's your boy, Connor.
that's true. I am. People really underestimate me all the time, but mostly for good reason. Steve Kerr, we'll get into it. That one, he should not be underrated.
No, and yes, like you said, we will get into it. But first, Connor, we had NFL playoffs this last week.
The super wild card weekend.
And it was super.
It was. It was indeed. I feel like you have to say it that way because of the way they kept advertising. It's like, super wild card weekend.
I feel like all of our predictions were wrong. Not all of them, but a lot of them were. Not all of them.
Hey, I said the Browns, and look where we're at.
That's true. But did you believe the Browns?
I believed. You're a doubter.
I don't think you did.
I did. How dare you?
Anyway, let's get into it, man. The Browns, they shocked the Steelers. I'll say it. They shocked them. They shocked the world, I feel like.
I think the Steelers shocked the world as one of the biggest disappointments ever. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. No, they're better than Dad. But no, yeah, the Browns, they got off to a, what was it, 28-0 lead at one point?
Yeah. No, they had, I believe it was like two interceptions in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the very first play, the Steelers, the snap went over their head.
Yep.
And, oh, actually, I just remembered, yeah, I got something to say about this. The when the snap went over the head, the ball like kind of is falling. It's near the like one yard line near the goal line, and the running back, I forget who it was, and Ben Roethlisberger right there, and they're kind of both waiting for the other one to fall on the thing.
There was some miscommunication.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa. Okay, I know it is different, but Cam Newton gets smashed for not diving on the ball in the Super Bowl and everything, but I'm like, this is still the playoffs, and I know the running back's still there, but dude, Ben, why aren't you dropping on that ball? Like, I know you're not trying to get hurt or whatever, but it's the playoffs, baby.
It's true. I mean, to be fair, two things. One, that was in the Super Bowl, so it's a little different.
Exactly.
It's literally do or die. I mean, so is the playoffs to an extent, but this is like
it is more intense.
Yeah, it's more intense. It means more in the Super Bowl. Also, Cam is known for being a mobile quarterback. Like that's what he does. He makes plays and he's agile. Where Ben is not known for that. Big Ben, no, he just trots around in the pocket and makes a throw. Like he doesn't scramble around and make runs. That's not his thing.
But still though, the ball's right there.
No, I understand. Like he should have like for 100%. Like that's your job. Like you're supposed.
But also,
the ball's on the ground, you need to get it.
Yeah, but like I said, the running back was kind of hesitant too. I'm like, bro, they're coming at you. Somebody fall on
do it. Do something. Anything.
What are you doing? It was weird. But yeah, the Browns. The Steelers made a hell of a comeback.
I was about
though.
To say, the Browns almost squandered that lead though. Like they were like stomping them, and then it almost like the Browns is the Browns almost came true.
They did, but I think they shook it eventually. Like they managed to quell the fire and got the dub, and that's really all that matters is the dub.
It's true. Yeah, dub's a dub. I mean, you could definitely feel the momentum shift hard back towards Pittsburgh at one point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, they were able to kind of like just kind of stave that off and really really hold them and even put up a few more points just to give them that little buffer.
Exactly. And it was a good game.
It was a great
game. Once the Steelers got back into it, like, oh, are they going to do this? Is it going to? Yeah. So that was fun. Which what wasn't a great game was the Saints and Bears game. And you know what? Let me take that back. It was a great broadcast if you're watching the Nickelodeon broadcast.
Yeah, I loved the CGI slime after the first touchdown. That was pretty great.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the Saints and Bears, they were also being broadcast, I think it was CBS, but also on Nickelodeon. I think this is NFL's kind of initiative to, you know, get young fans.
To brainwash. I mean, teach.
To teach football to young fans. No, I mean, it makes sense. It's, you know, they had some good. They were throwing out Nickelodeon references the whole time. They were, yeah, like Connor said, they had animations on the field after somebody scored. Slime would come up on the touchdown.
I think the first down marker was also orange instead of yellow, typically, because for Nickelodeon, obviously.
Obviously. And, yeah, they had, like I said, a bunch of animations, a bunch of stuff to keep the kids' eyes glued to the TV. And then afterwards, Sean Payton. So the Saints got the win. It was not really a contest, honestly. The Bears, I feel like they had a chance in the first quarter to hopefully maybe do something. Trubisky actually didn't play that bad. I want to say that right now. But the overall team just wasn't playing good. They couldn't stop the Saints really. It never really felt like out of control for the Saints, you know. So that's kind of what I mean. It was 21-9, but it felt like a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit larger lead.
Yeah.
But then Sean Payton after the game, he actually got slimed.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with it. I was like, wow, way to commit, man. And the funniest thing from that video though was one of the guys holding the sign, I don't think realized, like, was in the splash zone, and a bunch of slime got all over his shoe, and you can see him, like, jerk his foot back, but then he's like, ah, it's too late now. Like, I'm just, it's over.
I've like, that committed, sucks. Yeah. It's
huge. He's like, I didn't sign up for this, but I'm a part of it apparently.
But I liked it, the Nickelodeon broadcast. I think they should sprinkle in a few more during the season and stuff, and I thought that was fun.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good way to get kids involved too, because I remember as a kid, mm-hmm. there was times where like I would hear a game was happening, but like I'm a kid, so I don't know what channel it's on, and I was like, I'll just watch SpongeBob again, I guess.
And to be fair, NFL games can get boring. Like, there's a lot of in-between time, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Nickelodeon broadcast, adding animations, they have the references, stuff like that. Yeah, that could help keep the kids' attention, too.
Totally.
So
real quick, I do have to bring it back to the Browns game for just a second, because I don't want to miss this. But I had to laugh, because at one point, Baker Mayfield completed a pass to Rashard Higgins, who apparently has been like kind of one of his favorite targets this season. And after completing the pass or making the catch, the broadcasters just totally roast Higgins. They were like, he's not the best route runner. He's not even that fast. But man, Baker sure loves going to him. And I was like, dude, what? What just happened? Like, they just absolutely roasted him. And I died.
Higgins is dating their daughter. They're just roasting it. They're like, no.
They're like, this will get him back. I'm gonna besmirch him to the whole country. Exactly. It's like, wow, he actually really sucks at wide receiver. He also sucks in bed, I bet.
Oh, got him.
Jeez.
Yeah. Some announcers are
they're pretty wild.
Are too much. But let's move on to the Ravens and Titans game. That was a good game.
That was an incredible, fun game
to watch. Ravens won 20-13, but it was kind of back and forth. The Titans couldn't really get a good run game going. The Ravens,
which is what the Ravens had to do to be able to beat them. So
exactly, and they did exactly that. And Lamar Jackson was that run he had. I think John Harbaugh said that was the best QB run he's ever seen. I might have to agree. Like, the angle, dude, he like took off from the middle of the field, and like the angle, how did he get to a touchdown at that point? I know the defense wasn't in great position, but any other quarterback, that's probably not a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know
what, like, what that run kind of reminded me of, which was, this is also from a former Ravens player, and one of my, this play lives in my mind forever, was it was 4 and 29, and dumped it off to Ray Rice, just barely over the line of scrimmage, and he gets a first down because he like cut right a little bit and then just cut back, mm-hmm. and made everyone like turn their hips, and it was dubbed "Hey Diddle Diddle Ray Rice up the middle," and that play lives in my mind forever. But that's what Lamar kind of reminded me of. Like you said, he was like in the middle of the field, and they just like made a little cut and just like took it all the way.
And he just used his amazing speed. Yeah. And like I said, dude, any other quarterback, somebody would have caught him, you know, maybe in the goal, or, you know, maybe in the 5-yard line or something. But no, dude, he just had the speed to, and then dove for the touchdown. It was incredible.
It was great. And I mean, a cool stat that came out of that too was Lamar had more rushing yards than Derrick Henry and more passing yards than Ryan Tannehill in that game. I mean,
oh, I didn't know that.
What else can you do? You can't stop him if that's the case.
Yeah. That was a fun game. The Rams and Seahawks, they kind of surprised some people yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
Surprised me a little bit. They kind of handled the Seahawks.
Yeah. Here. I didn't expect them to absolutely like dominate them, you know, just to bend them over and take it a little bit, but like, hey, go for it, Jared Goff.
I mean, we kind of mentioned it in our prediction, is like the Rams defense is good, and they showed out. Like, the Seahawks couldn't really get anything going.
Yeah, and I mean, the most incredible part of that too was Aaron Donald had to exit early and go to the locker room because he got injured. So I mean, you see that as a Rams fan, you're like, oh, it's over, it's done. But they held them. They were incredible.
Yeah. The Rams finished 30-20 in the Rams' favor. And like I said, like there's one point where there's an interception the Rams had where it was like a little screen play, and Russell Wilson threw it out, and the cornerback just jumped it, and then he intercepted it, and I believe he got the touchdown.
Yeah, there. He took it to the house. Yep.
Yeah, and that's just like not – Russell Wilson doesn't really make that mistake much, you know? So
yeah, they made him – for an MVP caliber player, it was pretty surprising.
Yeah, like that's kind of a bad throw there, and maybe a bad read, I guess. But
yeah,
maybe you saw something I didn't. He probably did. But yeah, it was interesting. Hey, Rams are moving on. And we'll see – like, another thing that happened in this game. So John Wolford? I think that's how you say his name.
Warburger.
he started the game, but then I think it was like 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. He had a run play, and then Jamal Adams came and hit his shoulder onto his head. And dude, it was one of those where Wolford's head just like kind of crumpled into his shoulders. And he was out.
I hate it.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was hard to watch. They played it in slow motion multiple times. Like, stop!
Dude, that's what they do with every injury. It's so gross sometimes.
Do not need to see this.
Yeah, apparently he had to go. Like, they took him to the hospital and everything. Hope he's doing. I think he's doing all right now. But you know, hope for his recovery. But then, because they weren't planning to play Goff came in and he played all right, but hey, as hopefully that thumb just keeps feeling better, you know, for next week.
Yeah, or for this week, I guess. For a guy that was supposed to sit out the game, he played really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe not like he obviously didn't play 100% Goff level, but he played there really
were
definitely
well. some balls affected by it, like some wobbly throws and everything. But
hey, man, if you can't throw a wobbly touchdown, are you even really a quarterback? That's what I remember. I think Peyton Manning said that. It was like some kid asked him, like, how do you throw the perfect spiral? And he's like, I've thrown about 100 wobbly touchdowns. It doesn't matter as long as you get it there.
Yep, true that. Well, I think probably the best game on the wild card weekend, Bills versus Colts.
Oh, so good.
That was such a good game. It was back and forth the whole time, but the Bills came out on top, 27-24. They squandered the Colts' sort of last ditch, Phillip Rivers' last drive to try to tie it or win it at that point. And it was just an all-around great game. And the Bills won a playoff game first time in 25 years. Did I get that right,
Carl? Yeah, and let me put it to you this way. The Bills have won their first playoff game of the new millennium. Think about that.
Yeah.
It was like, I think it was 94 was their last playoff win. So, yeah. It's a great day to be week to be a Bills fan.
Yeah, no, Bills Mafia is going out right now. But, hey, all I have to say, Josh Allen, franchise QB, baby.
Bro, and Stephon Diggs, I mean, one of the best in the league. Like, easy. I mean, he came into a brand new system and has just dominated.
I mean, this year, technically, he probably was the best. I mean, at least statistically.
Yeah.
He was one of the best again. So, yeah, like, it was amazing. That connection's awesome. I'm excited to see how far they can go. Yeah, it was great. The one thing though, I do have to mention, I mean, their run game, if Josh Allen is not running, it was okay this game, but they really didn't go to it a lot.
Yeah.
And it was okay. But I believe actually Zach Moss is out now. I think I saw that somewhere. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that, actually, now that I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, I know he did I know he got injured in the game, and who was it? Singletary came in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. But their already almost non-existent run game, at least from the running back position, is already not great.
Yeah.
And if that's true that he's injured, that's not great. But I mean, that might be a problem moving forward. But let's move along to the game we were all waiting for, let's be honest, is the Washington football team versus the Buccaneers.
Yeah, we were all waiting for that one.
No, I wanted to spend some time on this personally, because the Washington football team is my team, if you didn't know that. But, man, that was a hell of a fight they put up.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to say, the Washington football team, I didn't even expect them to make the playoffs this year. They made the playoffs. And I, you know, against this high caliber Buccaneers offense, I thought they played as not as best they could, but near as best they could, you know, and put their hearts out of it. And Taylor Heinicke, the quarterback that was slotted in there for them, his second career start, he put it all out there, dude. He was dropping dimes. Honestly, yeah. There were some times where he would put it on the money to one of our receivers, and they would just drop it. And then, like, it was a third down play, and they dropped it. So then it was fourth down. It just kills the momentum and stuff. Like, I think if we had a few better wide receivers in that game, we probably could have had a better chance at, you know, I don't know about winning, but a better chance.
Yeah, there's definitely some holes in the Washington football team's
yeah.
core, but I totally agree. I mean, he went off. And also, watching Chase Young, I haven't really watched him all season, but watching that game, dude, Chase Young is going to be an incredible player. Give him just a couple of years. I mean, he's already really good.
He's a freak. And Connor, if you watched that game and you were impressed by him, that game wasn't even like a great game by him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I mean. I haven't watched him all year, and
The Bucs did a pretty good job at containing him.
Yeah. But no, I mean, he could be like a Ray Lewis. I'll say it. He could be like that caliber of defensive player at some point.
It's funny you say that. Jack Del Rio, their defensive coordinator, is said that his leadership already at this young age reminds him of Ray Lewis.
Hey, there we go. See? Great minds think alike.
You and Jack Del Rio. Yep. Exactly. All right. So that was last week. Great, great slots of games. Now, this week, we have Super Wild... Oh, wait, no. That's not it.
Hold regular on. Playoff weekend.
Let me check my notes. Yeah. No, this week, Saturday, we have number 6 seed Los Angeles Rams and number 1 seed Green Bay Packers.
Ooh.
And then the number 5 seed Baltimore Ravens and the number 2 seed Buffalo Bills. Connor, who do you have for these games?
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to go. Actually, okay, Rams and Packers is actually stumping me a little bit more than I would like to admit, but only because,
really?
Again, the Rams defense. That's why it's hard, because the Rams defense is so good.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm a fanboy. I'm a fanboy of Aaron Rodgers, so I'm hoping to win, but I feel like the Rams defense is good, and it's going to give them some problems, but I feel like they looked a little better than maybe they usually are against the Seahawks.
Okay, fair.
I don't know.
Okay, fair. They just had like an abnormally good game.
They had a really good game that game.
Okay,
And the Seahawks just kind of, yeah. So I think, I don't think it's, yeah. Anyways, that's
my still opinion. I still think the Packers are going to win, but I think the Rams are going to, again, put up a bigger fight than people thought.
Okay, I think that's fair. I think especially coming off that game and off how well the defense played, I think that's a fair assessment, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think the Green Bay Packers will win. I think the problem with the Packers this season is they are so balanced.
Yeah,
so it's true. Balanced. And
I don't think that's a problem.
The problem for the Rams.
It's a great problem to have.
The problem for the Rams is, they're so balanced. Like, they can run it, and then the play action is just, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the best throwing play action. Like, it's too easy.
I haven't really paid too close attention to the Packers this season, but how's their defense? Because typically that's I mean,
their defense is pretty good.
Okay, because I was gonna say their defense, like, you know, back when like Clay Matthews was at like the like in his prime, and also, like their defense was incredible, and then it dropped off quite a bit. So I just didn't know how they're doing as of recent.
I wouldn't say it's incredible, but it's pretty good. I think it's a slightly above average. Maybe more than slightly, but yeah,
their offense is just way too good.
Yeah. But their defense, the thing is, their big hole on defense is the same problem that they had last year, which last year it was the middle of their line, the middle of the defense kind of wasn't great. And then the 49ers came in and just ran all over the middle of the defense, right?
Right.
So I think they didn't really solve that, but their defense is still good, and so they can still, like, but if some team comes in there, I don't know about the Rams necessarily.
I was gonna say, I don't think the Rams can do it.
If some team comes in there with a great rushing attack and they just stuff it down the middle, I think that might be a problem for the Packers. But other than that, I have pretty good confidence with the Packers defense.
Gotcha. Okay, makes sense. Mm-hmm. So moving on to Bills Ravens.
I think this might be one of the best games. Honestly. Yeah, I'm predicting right now.
Hopefully, I hope it is. I mean, because we say that, and then sometimes teams just, you know, completely fall apart, and it's just totally one sided, and it's not fun. But I have faith that this could be a really good one. Now, this one I'm having trouble with because, one, I've said it before, I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson. He played here at the University of Louisville, so like he's a huge name around this area, so that's really fun. I've always been a low-key Ravens fan, so that's really tough for me. But dude, I'm loving riding this Bills like hype train right now, honestly. Like, love it. Love Josh Allen, love the connection with Stephon Diggs. I think I have to just root for the Bills at this point because Josh Allen's my boy right now.
I think I agree. I mean, the Bills are hot right now. They're coming in with a lot of momentum. The Ravens are hot too. I will give them that.
Yeah.
But I think the Ravens are. Here's the problem. The Ravens live and die by Lamar Jackson, obviously.
True.
But I think it's more so like right now. Like, their rushing attack, besides Lamar, isn't great right now, as good as it used to be. And their passing attack, same. I mean, it's not a fantastic right now, but sometimes you don't need it because Lamar Jackson breaks off a, 60-yard run.
Right. I mean, it's a bad day to be J.K. Dobbins when your quarterback's a better running back than you are. I mean, just saying, right?
Yeah. But, that's what I'm saying. It's like I could see a scenario where Lamar Jackson puts a team on his back and just runs all over the Bills and they can't stop him, you know?
True.
But other than that, I kind of want to pick the Bills. Like, unless that happens, unless he goes full Mike Vick on these hoes, I think the Bills have it.
An illegal fighting ring on these hoes? What?
Yeah, exactly. If they can do enough to contain. And, you know, that's the toughest job. But if they could do enough to contain Lamar, I think the rest of the defense is good enough to stop the Ravens.
I mean, I think we're forgetting, though, too, like, the Ravens have to do the same thing on the other side. Like, they have to contain Stephon Diggs. They have to contain Cole Beasley. Like, he's got so many good weapons to throw to that are
And Josh Allen is a good runner himself,
too. True, and Josh Allen is a very good runner himself. So, like, they have a lot to contain on that side. I don't know if the Ravens' defense is up to that task either.
That's true.
So we might just be looking at a few injuries on that. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think the Ravens defense has a few injuries too. So
yeah, exactly. So I think we may be looking at a actual, just like, I want to say shootout, but it's not just going to be a complete throwing game. It's going to be a lot of components, but it may just be a very offense heavy game, I guess is the better way to put it.
Yeah. But I'm very excited for that one.
Super excited.
All right. And then the Sunday slate, we have the Cleveland Browns at the number one seed Kansas City Chiefs. Ooh. Finally gonna see the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Bucks and the New Orleans Saints, and that Bucks Saints game, if that one can't disappoint. I feel like
that's gonna be a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's another, what's that, that's the third time they're matching up this year.
Yeah
Did you and say, I know did you the Bucks wanted
a tweet with like the super aged Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Yeah, that was amazing. That was so funny. And they were both,
they
like,
both retweeted it.
Yeah. They're both laughing.
It was so funny. I love Drew Brees looked like some like old Jewish uncle with the bald head and the funny beard. I don't know. It was funny. But yeah. Who do you have for these games, Connor? I mean, does the Brown do the Browns have a chance?
Okay, the Browns have a chance. They have a chance, okay. But I don't think it's a very good one. I don't know. No. Here's the thing. Like, the Chiefs obviously are just way too stacked. Like, the Browns' defense is marginal at best, so I don't think that they can contain Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes. And you know what I mean? Like, they just can't contain the Chiefs' offense whatsoever. And then the Chiefs' D is pretty great. I mean, they're definitely not bad, and so I think they're not going to have a huge problem with
the
trying
Chiefs'
to...
defense. Are opportunistic. Like, they come up in good places, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I think the Browns are going to surprise everyone again. I think they're going to do better than people think, but I don't think they're going to win.
Interesting. I think this is potential for a blowout, and I hate to say it. I think the only way that maybe your scenario or even the Browns winning happens is if the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they had their rest, they're a little sluggish, they're not, you know, into it. But the problem with that is
in the first quarter.
Maybe. But no, I'm saying, like, if they are sluggish, say like the Browns go up in the first half, you know, that's how Kansas City wants to play.
Yeah, true.
So maybe that's,
dude, maybe that's not the best. Can you imagine what if the Chiefs are just kind of shaking off the rust and it's exactly like the Steelers and the Browns go up 28-0, everyone's on this high, and then the Chiefs just come in and just ream them,
drop 50 on them. Just like that's pretty much what happened to the Texans last
year. Exactly. They're up, what was it, 24
like, I think. Yeah, 24 nothing.
Jeez. I mean, that would just be incredible. And again, I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan. I really don't like him, but like, I feel like the all the talk from the Steelers is really what fueled that win. Well, the Chiefs don't do that, so I don't know. I just don't think he's gonna have the same fight in him that he did against the Steelers, because it was personal.
Maybe they got all the confidence they need from that win, though.
True. Maybe. That's true. I mean, they're like, oh, we just beat that, you know, 11-0 team. The bad, yeah, no, the bad think, undefeated team.
I think the Chiefs are too much. I think the best the Browns can do is hope to keep it within, like, 10. Honestly. Jeez. Honestly, dude, jeez. I really don't have a lot of confidence in the Browns' defense.
Clearly.
Man. I'm sorry. I'm saying it right now.
No, the Browns' defense is not amazing. So I agree with you. Like, if they had a slightly better defense, I would say I would definitely give them a little bit more credit here. But I don't know. Yeah. I think they're going to surprise us a tiny bit, but not to the point where they're going to win.
Again, like, even if it's, like, decent – defense, that's fine, but you're going against the Chiefs.
No, you know? I know.
It's hard.
It's unfair. But they're a cheat code right now. I agree.
Exactly. But yeah, let's talk about the Bucks and the Saints game.
There's so much
narrative to this game.
Yeah.
You know, you got Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, you got the Saints versus the Bucks, the divisional rivals, third matchup of the year. Saints have really kind of took it to them. I think, didn't they win both of them? I believe they did.
I'm pretty sure they did.
I'm going to say they did, and I'll probably be wrong. But, and, you know, the Bucks want the game. Like, you know, is either of the quarterbacks going to retire at this year? Like, there's a lot of narrative going into this.
Yeah. I was actually wondering the same thing. Like, because for some reason, I feel like if Brady loses, he doesn't retire. But if Breeze loses, I feel like he does, possibly. A little bit more of a chance for that.
I think Breeze is going to retire either way this season.
You think so?
Is it the broken ribs?
Is that it? Is it because of the rib injury? He's like, okay, I'm too old for this.
Not just that. I think that factors into it, but I don't know, man. I just feel like...
He's just not looking the same?
Kind of. Not really. I don't know. I think it's just a feeling, honestly.
Okay, fair. Just that premonition, you're just like you can just feel it in your bones.
Yeah, yeah, it's mother's intuition.
Feel it in your testicles a little bit.
Yeah, I feel it deep down in my balls.
what's that tingling sensation? Breeze is retiring.
Wait, what are you saying, balls? Oh, Breeze is retiring? All right, I got this. No, I don't know. I just, yeah, like I said, it's a little bit of a feeling. But I think I agree if the Bucks win the whole thing, the whole shebang, maybe Tom Brady retires, but I don't know, man.
If they somehow won the Super Bowl, Brady 100% has to retire. You have to retire on top like that.
That would be the time to retire, I feel like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But let's focus on this game, Connor.
Okay, sorry. All right.
Who do you think is going to win? And this is a tough one to decide. This is a really tough one to decide.
It actually is a tough one, but I think I'm going to give it to the Saints. I think I really I believe in the Saints too much. I mean, I know the Bucks are pretty stacked. I believe. I do think the Bucks are really stacked. But the Bucks defense has not been great, and the Saints offense is too good. Like, the Bucks defense has been okay.
Taysom Hill is in question for the game, I believe, just so you know.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. I don't know. They're all in one tool.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll survive without their Swiss Army knife. They still have Kamara and Thomas and everyone else on that team.
That's true.
So that's true. I think they're okay. But, yeah, I don't know. I think this has a lot of potential to be a shootout, but I think the Saints defense is just ahead of the Bucks defense, so I feel like the Bucks are going to have a harder time scoring than the Saints will. And the Bucks defense has been decent, but they were way better at the beginning of the season than they are now. I think people just kind of figured out how to play against them, and they didn't really make proper adjustments. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I'll be going to the Saints.
I think all your points are very valid, but I think I'm still going to go with the Bucks on this one. I think.
quit okay, sipping yeah. Brady. Oh my gosh.
Does he have an OnlyFans? Can I sign up?
You wish. Yeah, he kisses his son on the mouth on it.
Gross. I don't really have a reason, I guess. It's just another other ball ceiling.
It's another ball feeling.
But just like deep down in
my loins.
All your points are valid. Like, both defenses are. I think Saints defense are great. I think the Bucks defense is all right. And then they're both loaded offensively. Like, this could be a shootout. This could be a defensive brawl. I can see it going a number of different ways. I don't really know how to predict it, honestly. And I'm just gonna pick the Bucks. I think the slight edge to Tom Brady.
Yeah. No. I think we are getting set up for an incredible game at this point. So I'm really excited for it.
So excited for this weekend and all the games there. I can't wait to get there. But let's move on to a little bit of some teams that aren't in the playoffs, Connor. So the Doug Peterson era in Philly is over. This was kind of surprising, kind of not, though, when the news came out.
I was a little surprised.
And now it was surprising. Like, I mean, they were a bad team this year, though. And now the reports coming out is that there is some rift between him and the owner and the GM, and so apparently now coming out it kind of makes sense. But since he's been fired, a lot of the reports coming out saying that there is a bigger chance that Carson Wentz actually stays in Philly now. Apparently Doug Peterson was a big Jalen Hurts guy, and Jeffrey Lurie wanted Carson Wentz, apparently. And so that I think that was a big factor. This is my personal opinion. I think that was a big factor in the firing, is that they wanted to keep Carson Wentz. And so they're like, all right, Doug, you're not going to play him? See ya.
You know, that actually does make a lot more sense, because when you look at his tenure, what was it? This was only his fourth season or something like
fourth
that?
Fourth or fifth.
Yeah, fourth
like
or
that.
Fifth, but, and won a Super Bowl in there. Like, the only Super Bowl. So, like, that was pretty surprising when you look at it that way, but now that you're given all this additional information, it kind of makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if they want to keep trying Wentz, but like, and I think my opinion, and I think a lot of other opinions, don't you think it's kind of time to move on from Wentz at this point for the Philly?
Well,
like, it kind of
maybe.
Jalen Hurts already showed you this nice showcase this year, and. No, I mean, it's weird.
No, you're right. Like, here's my deal. Is we talked about this before, is that Carson was just very mentally done in Philly, it seemed like. And so to have this maybe gives him that mental boom, that mental restart to then come out and play even better than Hurts as that veteran quarterback that's been there before.
Maybe. And, you know, if Hurts can get back to, or not Hurts, if Wentz can get back to anywhere near that MVP sort of murmurs that he was getting, then, yeah, I think you obviously take Wentz over Hurts at this point. But there's just so many unknowns. We don't even know if this is not necessarily true or not, but we don't even know if this is going to result in Wentz actually staying. Maybe he still wants out. Maybe, like, we don't know. So,
yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot of question marks.
There's a lot of what ifs. And the other part of that, sorry, real quick, is just that if they do make Wentz the guy again because that's what they wanted and he doesn't perform, he's out, and that sucks. Like, that would be really tough. I think it's actually worse to put his faith in him again for him to possibly fail. And then if he does fail, I don't know. I mean, but if he doesn't, well, that's great. But
his stock right now is so low. You put him in and he still sucks. It's just going to get lower.
Exactly.
You
know,
your trade stock.
And that's the thing. So I don't know. It's a tough decision. I mean, it's great that they want to try to put faith in him, but maybe
it's not the right time. A tough decision. That's what makes me wonder: is this Philly job even an enticing job right now? Well, they still have this huge quarterback decision, and then I imagine they're not going to hire anybody that's going against them. But obviously, you have to be if the GM wants Hurst, then you have to be a Hurst guy. If the owner wants a Wentz, then you have to be a Wentz guy. You know, whatever coach comes in. So it's kind of a mess, and I don't know if that's a pretty job right now. If the QB situation wasn't there, I think it'd be a decent opening, you know.
Yeah.
But with that whole situation looming over your head, I don't know who wants to be a Philly coach, honestly.
Yeah, that is a tough sell right there. But I don't know. Maybe they can get in either somebody who's like a former head coach that's looking to be a head coach again type of situation, or I don't know, maybe they can even bring in like a college coach who's been really looking to move into the NFL. Who knows?
Speaking of college coaches, Urban Meyer. Now this is coming from, hold on, let me pull up the tweet. Sorry, so I don't get it wrong. It's right here. Hold on. It's Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on Twitter. He's saying Urban Meyer and Jaguars are getting a deal done today. Uh-huh. Meyer will be the next Jacksonville coach. I mean, there were a lot of rumors. A lot of people thought this was going to happen, but this is just one step closer. Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of mixed feelings about him coming into the NFL.
Agreed. And speaking of transitioning from college to NFL, we're going to talk about transitioning from NFL to college, because apparently Bill O'Brien is actually in talks. Fear O'Brien. He's apparently in talks of becoming the next offensive coordinator for Alabama.
Really? Uh-huh. I did not know that.
Yep, I didn't hear that. I saw that today.
Wow, what a tandem that would be, Saban and Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, it'd be pretty insane.
Oh, that's, wow. I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
I hate it. I hate everything about Alabama, well, so I hate all of it.
Yep, exactly. Screw Alabama. Do you see that? I mean, they won the national championship.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You didn't know that. And then the streets of Tuscaloosa were just riddled with everybody.
I mean, the streets of Tuscaloosa are already riddled with stuff. But, yeah, now.
with heroin needles. interesting. But let's move right along. Some huge news in the NBA, guys. This happened last night. James Harden is a Brooklyn Net.
This is not a drill, by the way. Not a drill.
It's not a drill. It's weird to even say James Harden is a Brooklyn Net.
In a blockbuster trade deal, by the way. Like, insane. Yes. How this all panned out.
Yeah. So the Rockets, the Nets are sending Caris LeVert to the Rockets. They're sending Jared Allen and Torian Prince to the Cavs. The Nets are also sending three Brooklyn first rounders unprotected, one Milwaukee first rounder unprotected, and they're doing four Brooklyn first round swaps unprotected.
Wild.
They are pretty much, they are, what is the word? They are, I don't know, but their future, if this doesn't work out, is screwed. Just like this is so similar to when they brought Paul Pierce and KG into the Nets. They gave all their first round picks to Boston.
Yep.
And they their future is like, it's riding on this.
Yeah.
I think this is a little better, I think, than that trade, than the Paul Pierce and KG. I mean,
okay, so
James Harden.
Talking about that though, real quick. Do you, in your personal opinion, do you think that James Harden was worth this trade? Was worth what they gave up for him?
That's a tough one.
The silence.
Because
I thought we cut out for a second.
Well, because to get a guy like that, I mean, that's kind of the precedent these days.
Right. No,
to totally. get a guy his caliber.
But
that is the precedent.
James Harden himself, is he worth it?
I think yes.
Really? Okay.
I think yes. I mean, really, the worst part about him this year is that he was out of shape. He's probably still is out of shape. You know, he's looking nice and round this right now. But I mean, you can fix that, right? And okay, let's finish the trade real quick, and then their third star, Kyrie. But the Rockets sent Caris LeVert the Nets sent Caris LeVert to the Rockets, and then the Rockets turned that into, they sent Victor Oladipo, and the Pacers sent Victor Oladipo to the Rockets for Caris LeVert now. So it was a three-team trade, and then the Pacers snuck in there to throw Victor Oladipo in there.
Okay, too. You know what's interesting? Not that, I don't know, he technically kind of denied these rumors, but it makes me wonder, did Oladipo actually say some things alluding to the fact that he wanted out of the Pacers? Because it seemed like they turned around and made this trade really quickly.
I think
for like their guy. He was supposed to be like the guy.
I think it almost confirms that.
Right?
About the rumors. We talked about the rumors coming into the season that he kind of wanted out. I think it all but confirms that. Because Caris LeVert, now this is interesting. I think Caris LeVert and Victor Oladipo are very similar players. I think Caris LeVert is like at like the Thunder. He's at the stage that Victor Oladipo was at on the Thunder, maybe ish.
Okay.
And then, but he has the potential to maybe be Victor Oladipo now or last, or you know, before the injury, and then, you know, so I think they're very similar players in that sense, so that's interesting. And so, but he's still, I think it's still slightly a step down right now,
right?
Maybe the potential's there, and so because you're taking that step down, I think that does confirm it, you know.
Yeah,
that there, he did want out. But the other thing is that I think people forget is Victor Oladipo's contract is up after this year.
Oh, true.
So it's only a rental, you know, but the thing is, he's playing for a contract. If he balls out right now, you know, he could get a max contract. If he doesn't, maybe 15 to 20 million at the most, I would say, ball out right now.
Yeah. And so, I guess Indiana is kind of just like protecting themselves in a way where they're like, hey, we can get this young, healthy guy. And, you know, who knows?
For a better contract.
Exactly. Who knows if Oladipo is even going to like play like he used to. We don't know. Might as well get some value out of it.
Which, like I said, there's very similar players, kind of similar play styles.
Yeah.
I mean, LeVert's not as good on defense, but yeah, I think for the whole trade, if we're just talking about people and what everybody got, I don't think there are any losers per se.
Yeah, I don't think about losers. I think Brooklyn may have given up a little too much in the way of picks and stuff. So I think they lost out in that sense. But overall, I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, because like the Rockets turning James Harden, if James Harden wants out, you can't do anything about that.
Yeah,
they turn that into Victor Oladipo and a million firsts.
Yeah, no, I would say the Rockets.
That's not that bad.
The Rockets definitely won, I think. Especially getting a toxic guy out of their locker room.
Yeah, exactly. And they still have John Wall, Boogie Cousins. They got Christian Woods looking amazing.
Yeah.
Like they could still compete this year.
Totally.
I don't think
totally.
You know, they're not going to be a top team like they were with James Harden, but they could still compete this year. Same with Pacers. I mean, the Pacers, if you're getting rid of somebody who wants out and you turn that into Caris LeVert, again, in my opinion, very similar to Oladipo. I think that's great for them.
Yeah.
The Cavs, I mean, they get Jared Allen. I love Jared Allen. I think he's a great player.
Awesome. Yeah.
Honestly, he was the Nets' best center. I don't know why they started DeAndre Jordan, but the Cavs now have they have Jared Allen, they have JaVale McGee, they have Andre Drummond. I don't know what the Cavs are doing, honestly. I like the pickup for anybody, really, but that's just weird for the Cavs. It is a weird one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
but
Cavs are just trying to do whatever they can. I mean, they were actually playing pretty well, but now they dropped down to the number 11 spot. They're 5-7.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. I think they're just doing whatever
they can. Coming back down to earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Coming off the first few games.
But let's get into how this turned out for the Nets, right? Right now, I do have to mention, right now, Kyrie Irving is still out. He's still kind of missing in action, MIA. He and now a video is surfaced of him. This is all alleged of him partying at a what seems to be his sister's birthday party, 30th birthday party, maskless, big crowd, all that stuff, right? And so a video is surfacing of him. And if that's the case, if this is true, if this is not a good look, like this, like, what are you doing? You're telling, you know, you're not giving a lot of information to the Nets of where you're going. You're saying it's personal reasons you're gone. You're gone for a week. Now it's plus, you know, gone for, it's been four games. It's probably going to be more games. Like, if that's the only reason, and I hope that's not the only reason. I hope it comes out. Honestly, I'm kind of rooting for Kyrie, kind of. That something comes out where it's like, I did have this emergency, and then I put this birthday in there too, you know? Like, I don't know. But right now, it doesn't look great for him.
It doesn't. Honestly. And that being said, Stephen A. Smith, which I don't particularly like Stephen A. Smith. I think most of his takes are just to elicit some kind of reaction out of people and just to yell about nothing. But he did say something to the effect of, Kyrie should just retire at this point because he doesn't care about basketball enough. What do you think about that?
I mean, if he really doesn't care, then yeah, I think you should retire.
Well, like, but what are you doing? That's just Steven. That's an outsider's perspective. Do you think Kyrie doesn't care about basketball enough by the way he's acting?
Oh, I see. I'm not sure. Like, this kind of does. Like, I'm kind of creeping towards Stephen A's sides a little bit here. If this video is true, if he's just partying with his sister, like, I know, like, I get, you know, it's tough times. You want to be with your family. You want to have fun, but like, technically,
you have a job.
He kind of did the right thing. Listen, hear me out. Kind of the right thing. If he knew he was gonna go party with her, right? So he took himself away from the team so he wouldn't spread COVID with the team, right? So that kind of like,
but didn't execute it well.
No, I know. No. I'm still saying he's definitely up to blame here. But I'm just saying, like, I mean, if you're gonna do something bad, he did it. You know, he's protecting the team a little bit here by not going back and forth, you know, in that situation.
Yeah, no, I guess. I know what you're saying. Like, I don't know. Kyrie's
it's
such
still
a weird,
terrible.
Yeah, Kyrie's just such a weird dude that, like, that actually wouldn't surprise me where he's like, oh, I was just protecting the team and the earth's flat, whatever. But I don't know. I just here's my issue. Is like, we've talked about this before too, that like, this is a Stars league, like, or a, what is it, Stars run league,
the players,
like, yeah, like the players run league. Yeah, like the players definitely run the league, but it's starting to get out of hand, I think, a little bit. Like, it's starting to get to the point where they can be a diva and no one cares. Like, I think people just need to start getting cut at this point.
The problem with the NBA and getting cut is those fully guaranteed contracts.
Oh, I know. No, I get it. Like, it's not like football where they get paid per game or per like, yeah, performance. Like, I get it. But at the same time, like, at what point do you just cut your losses and go, you know what, we'll still pay him, but we just don't want him around anymore?
I mean, yeah, there might be that point, but I mean, like I said, with the guaranteed contracts, you're going to try to move him first, or like, hey, right, you want to take a chance on him, like, I think that comes before it. But I don't know. And so I want to bring up with the whole Harden trade are the Nets trying to get some insurance? This is like their insurance policy is to get James Harden just in case
maybe
Kyrie can't come back or he wants to leave or whatever.
Well, okay. So
whatever's happening.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, no, I was done.
So okay. So I, all right, I'll just bring back in. My thing is, does Harden buy in? Does he buy into the system? Because that's the issue I saw with this whole thing was, okay, we're creating this death lineup, we're doing this whole thing, that's great, but then you have to buy into the system. Because someone like when KD went to the Warriors and there was this whole death lineup thing, the thing was he fit into that system pretty easily. Like, the Warriors gave up a lot of their depth for that, but then you have one of the most pure scorers ever on your team and their whole system was passed to the open guy. And you just have straight scores on that team. Now you have the Nets where, again, you have some great energy. You have KD who's looking so good right now. But then you have a diva like Harden coming in, who, again, never heard no for like 8 years and is just acting like a prima donna. So does he buy into the system because he's just happy to be out of Houston and to be back on a team with, I don't know, with KD, with some other guys? Like, I don't know. I wonder how he fits into the system, or if this just blows up in the Nets' face.
Mm-hmm. I think that is a fair question, Connor. I want to sort of give some of the other side, though. One, this is the first, like, when he got a trade into Houston, like Chris Paul, like Russell Westbrook, right? He was the guy. And so they had to be second fiddle, right? They had to come into his system. They had to mold to him, right? This time around, it's KD's team. And he put it on his list to come there, right?
Right.
Like, so, like I said, I think what you're saying is very valid. We don't know. We'll just have to see eventually. But I think the chances, I think he does want to buy in. Now, will it fit? Will it still work? Will he fully buy it? Like, I think those are all good questions. But like I said, it was on his list to go there. He kind of knew. I mean, if you don't know, it's KD's team. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, so was the Thunder. So maybe he already knows that feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think there's a good chance there that he'll buy in. And I think the system will, like, they do lose some of their depth here for sure, but who needs that when you have, I mean, assuming Kyrie comes back and plays fine. You know, who needs that when you have the three guys? You can kind of stagger them a little bit and always have one of them on the court, hopefully.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you. And I think if he does buy in, if they all kind of buy into this whole change or whatever, like, man, we could be watching some of the best offense you've ever seen in basketball.
Because I mean, even with just KD and Kyrie, when they were, because I think during the season they've definitely looked like, there have been a few games where they look like the best offense, and then there have been some games where, yeah, maybe it sucked too much, or yeah, they took too many bad shots, or whatever the reason are. And so they haven't been perfect this season for sure. I mean, they're 6-6 right now, I think.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, I think they already kind of could look like that with just KD and Kyrie. Harden buys in. He's passing the ball. He's running. He's playing a little bit of defense. Like, he's moving without the ball, I think, which is a big thing that he didn't have to do in Houston. Then, dude, yeah, that's going to be scary. And honestly, not a lot of defense being played, but they're not going to need a lot of defense with these three guys.
Yeah, that's true. So I saw something. I said this to you on Instagram, but I think it was House of Highlights actually posed the question, is this the best trio to ever be put together in the NBA? Because of their individual accolades, and like, now you're putting them all together on a team. But I don't know. I saw that and I was like, man, I hate when people ask this, because you're just going to – they haven't even proven themselves yet, where you have a trio like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman sitting there with three championships together. And you're going to ask if this is the best trio ever. But someone else I forgot about was, I think a lot of people forget about lately, is the LeBron, Wade, Bosch trio in Miami. Mm-hmm. The amount of accolades that are between those three as well, I mean, that might be one of the best trios ever.
Well, I agree. But I want to kind of revert back a little bit. So you're saying, the question was posed, is this based on all three of them before they've even played? Is this the best three ever combined?
Well, and that's what you're saying. Well, that's the thing, is there wasn't a lot of context to it. It's literally an Instagram post that just says, is this the best trio ever? Like, is this the best trio in, like, it said something to the effect of, like, is this the best NBA trio ever? And I think based on their individual accolades and their accomplishments and things like that, possibly. I mean, I think they do have a lot of potential, but in terms of like being able to prove themselves, I think we have to wait and see. You know what I mean? But I don't think we can pose that question yet, just because Harden got traded to the Nets.
I think that you're exactly right. I would agree. Like, if you're just basing this off their individual stuff coming together before they've even played a game, yeah, they might be the best trio ever assembled. But yeah, I mean, you're stupid to say this is the best trio before they even played. Like, this is the best trio to ever play together, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm excited. I kind of hope Kyrie's situation gets resolved. Maybe gets a fine. Maybe gets suspended for a minute. I don't know. But and then when he comes back with Harden and back, Harden, hopefully this motivates him. You know, he's back to be motivated. He gets back in shape. he's willing to play.
A little bit.
Like, I'm excited to see what Steve Nash can do with all these guys, honestly.
Yeah, again, we are getting set up for possibly some of the best basketball we've ever seen in our lives. So it could be incredible.
And they have to be even. Let's take Kyrie out of the situation for a second. Even without Kyrie, they're still probably the favorites in the East. No,
I would say. What do you think? I would say yes. I mean, I think Philly's kind of proven themselves right now. But like, I mean, we're sitting. Boston's actually in the number one seed at the moment. But like, yeah, I mean, Brooklyn finally moved up to number six. So I think they're definitely in the hunt to climb the standings. And yeah, I mean, I still think they'd probably be the. I think you're right. I think they'd still be the favorite just based on the talent.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned a few of those teams. Philly's been great. The Bucks have been very mediocre this year. So
well, they're number two right now. So
I think they've still been not great this year.
No, I agree. I mean, but, like, they're not kind of the Bucks we've seen of the past, at least as of right now.
Yeah, like I said, very excited to see all three of them on the court together. Who knows when that might happen, though. With Kyrie missing in action. But, Connor, did you see that the NBA has enforced stricter protocols for as far as dealing with COVID?
I did, because I also saw all the postponed games.
Yeah, that's true. You mentioned that. There have been, I want to say, four off the top of my head, I think.
Yeah, there's been a lot, actually. Four
games postponed.
Yeah, there was like one, and it was like, oh, this is kind of the first, the first to happen so far. And then, like dominoes, it was just one after the other started coming out that more and more games were getting postponed.
Yeah, so some of the things that they're implementing, like I said, it's getting a lot stricter. This is kind of a trial run. I think that some of these protocols are only going to be put in place for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then after the 2 weeks, I think they're going to reassess and see like, hey, did we get this under control? Do we need to keep doing the strict stuff? But some of them are like, when teams are in their home markets, both players and staff must remain at home unless they are going to a team-related activity, exercising outside, performing essential activities, or, quote, as a result of extraordinary circumstances. They're also supposed to limit away from work interactions to family, household members, and personal staff working in their home. Anyone who regularly visits the home of a player or staff member must have 2 COVID tests per week. Meanwhile, teams that have either players who tested positive or high-risk member may require teams and staff to undergo 5 consecutive days of twice-a-day lab-based testing in addition to daily point-of-care tests. And then also they're adding, like, pregame meetings. The locker room can last no more than 10 minutes. Every other meeting.
Wait, what does that matter? Like, because COVID only has, like, I think it's a five second rule. Like, it only lasts 10 minutes.
I know, but I think their thing is it's a confined space, more of a confined space.
Yeah,
they're trying to limit interaction.
I do understand that, but sometimes these, like, what they try to do to create like different safety measures are just ridiculous. Like, okay, sorry. For example, let me rant for just a second. So like, I go get my haircut, right? And for whatever reason, you're supposed to keep the mask on all the time, but the barber can remove like one side of your mask when he has to like, trim around your ears and get kind of like in that area, right? Well, so what my barber does, which I don't even understand why I'm wearing a mask in the first place. Like, it should just be like a restaurant where you wear it in, you take it off while you're getting the haircut, you put it back on immediately afterwards. I think it should just be like that, because what my barber does is he'll like take off one side, he'll like do one side of my head, right? And then he'll strap it back onto my ear so my mask is back on fully for about half a second, go to the other side of my head and undo it again. So I'm like, I'm not even wearing a mask right now. Like, what's the point? But that's what that 10 minutes feels like. Is like, what's the point? Just do the pre-meeting or whatever somewhere else. Don't, or whatever. I don't know.
Well, and that's what it's saying too, is every other meeting has to be on the court between a player and staff. I think they're also, they're trying to make sure that, every other meeting between a player and staff has to happen either on court or in a league-approved space or arena in a room big enough for everyone involved to be at least 6 feet apart. Everyone must be wearing masks at all the time. They're cracking down on masks. Like, if you're on the sideline, you have to be wearing a mask. I believe you are going to be limited to like fist bumps and elbow bumps, like no hand, like no high fives anymore on the bench. I believe also they're putting in a rule where they're going to have, see, when you're on the bench, you have to you had to be wearing a mask. But like when you just came off the court and you're really tired, you're kind of breathing heavy, maybe you don't want a mask on. So I think they're implementing a thing where they're going to be like a pre-bench area.
Oh my gosh.
Where it's like a bench. No, I think I honestly think that they're like, so that when you come off the court, you can go sit there for a minute, catch your breath, and then you go back to to the bench and put your mask on.
I mean, that one actually kind of makes sense, but I just keep thinking about, again, stupid kind of safety precautions where, like, for example, the NFL, where I understand the whole point of wearing a mask on the sidelines, and I think, like, if you're not really playing or coaching staff, totally should, but some of these guys who are out there without a mask on tackling each other, breathing in each other's faces anyway, and then have to go back onto the sideline and strap a mask on. What's the point of that? What is the point at that moment? It just doesn't really make sense. Like, not that I don't think they should take safety precautions, but like they're already getting exposed, if anything. So it doesn't matter at that point.
It is. It doesn't make too much sense, but I mean, they're just trying to stop the spread, and that's kind of the problem right now in the NBA, is it is spreading rampant. Like,
totally.
I believe I just got a Bleacher Report that the Wizards, I mean, their two games of the Wizards have been postponed, and I believe a third positive case just came out of the Wizards facility. So it's and then with these protocols, it's like they're like, oh shit, we didn't have a bubble this year, we didn't do a bubble this time, but now with some of these protocols, honestly, they're kind of like inching towards a bubble now.
Yeah,
like in their own city, and so,
you know what's kind of cool though, is this all just proves that like the bubble worked, like it was effective, and like that's probably the best way to do it, to have it so that we're not postponing games and we're not spreading COVID and all that stuff. But also, it's way tougher on the players mentally.
Exactly, especially on a whole season, and there would be more teams there.
Yeah,
like. Now, I think somebody, I think I was listening to a podcast or something, I can't remember. Somebody suggested like having like 2 weeks, like maybe a bubble where there's like 2 or 3 weeks on and then you have a week off or something, and then like something like that. But I don't know. And here's the thing. It's like, I don't have a good answer. I don't have a good alternative. It's just this whole thing is kind of stuff that we're all going through, and we're all having to adapt and see what we can do about it, and kind of go with the flow, like try to react. You know, there's a lot of reaction here, because but hopefully, I think if the players, because it kind of seemed like before they had like approved restaurants that the players could go to, and now they're like, no, like you can't go to a restaurant, and I'm like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Why are you letting?
Yeah, why were you going in the first place? They should have just been, following general COVID practices that everyone else is following, like ordering out or, you know, ordering takeout, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I think some of these protocols, I think, should have been there from the start. Like, hey, if you're at home, if you're in your home city, stay at home unless you have, you know, So some of these, they're getting stricter. I think some of these will definitely hold. I just hope they can quell the fire that is COVID right now, and hopefully move forward. Maybe they're gonna have to reschedule some games.
Yeah.
But I just the worst is if they would have to postpone the season or even cancel the season.
That would be rough. I feel like they'd probably at that point just cancel it, since they already had to do this like quick turnaround season to try to get back on schedule. Mm-hmm. At that point, I say it just gets canceled.
If it gets to a point,
I would not be surprised if that's how Adam Silver decides to handle it, because like, you know, he wants basketball to happen more than anyone, but you also have to think about scheduling, the safety of the players, and realistically, we can't postpone a season again, or else we're just going to get on this crazy like off schedule constantly.
Yeah, it would be weird. But in other NBA news, let's move right along to some brighter news. I say brighter because the Clippers bench, I wanted to bring this up. I saw this on Twitter, actually. The Clippers bench seems like they, in 10 games, so this is a few days old, but in 10 games, the Clippers bench is minus 266 in 10 games. That's the worst in the NBA. And the next worst at the time was the Minnesota Timberwolves at minus 192.
Yikes.
It's probably skewed a little bit because of the Mavs game where they won by 50. But still, the Clippers bench is terrible right now. And I, as a fantasy owner of Lou Williams, have to, I am pretty mad right now. and then I saw this too, is there where in the case of Lou Williams, even last year, he was third and fourth in usage rate, right?
Yeah.
This year, he's like sixth or seventh on the team, and they've lost people. Like, they need him more, and for some reason, he's not being used as much.
Jeez.
Ty Lu, what's going on, man?
I mean, yep. I don't know. But, maybe Montrezl Harrell still was just the absolute spirit and heart of that bench, so...
maybe, but the thing is, they still are winning. I think they're number two in the West right now.
I believe you're right.
So maybe it won't
rear its ugly really head quick. Until. Yep, number two.
Yeah, so maybe it won't even rear its ugly head until, you know, playoffs. Yay! some more crazy stats I saw. Shout out r/NBA on Reddit. Love these guys. They always come out with some great stats. But this one says Golden State is currently 19th in three-point shooting. If Kelly Oubre had not shot any threes this season, they'd be fourth. That's how bad Kelly Oubre has been shooting. I think he's only hit, at this time that this was posted, which was a few days, this is a few days old, he had only hit six threes this season. That's, I think he's hit a few more, but still.
It's a big oof. Very big oof.
Yeah.
On the opposite of sucking though, LaMelo is actually the youngest player to get a triple double. That was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
And
congrats to him.
Also cool because Charlotte wasn't doing great, but now they're number seven, I believe, or six.
They've been playing really well.
They're number seven, and they're 6-6 right now, so .500 as of right now. And yeah, they've been getting a little bit better each time.
Yeah, I think they've been playing pretty well. And we talked about it in the preseason. Gordon Hayward, he got this huge contract, right?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I don't think he's playing to the contract's worth yet.
Yeah.
But he's playing a lot closer to it than I thought he would. You know, he just dropped 34 the other night. I think he's averaging 22, which is great. Like, he's a good leader for that team, and I think he's leading them in scoring too.
To be honest, so he's been. I kind of forget that he's on that team. To like yesterday,
yeah, it's still weird. Yeah,
you know, like, there was like a highlight from him, and I was like, oh yeah, he is on the Hornets now.
Yeah, a lot of the attention goes to LaMelo for sure.
Oh yeah,
they're like, it's like, dude, it's like anytime LaMelo does anything. Bleacher Report, ESPN. Like, yeah. Oh my god.
Well, oh my god, I mean,
7 points and 2 rebounds. Oh, yeah.
I mean, after the amount of hype that this whole family has gotten for like 5 years, finally someone's doing something cool. So yeah, I think it's warranted a little bit.
But he has played great. He hasn't been scoring amazingly, but everything else, he's been great. He's been great. He's been getting a lot of steals, lots of assists, great passes, and he's rebounding fantastically right so far.
Yeah.
I mean, 6'7" guard, you better be, but
true,
still.
True.
He's in there.
Mm-hmm. He's in it.
He's in it. I want to bring up this stat as well. The Nuggets are the
terrible.
With Jokic on the floor.
I mean, yeah.
No, they're awesome. No, they're not playing as well as they should be right now. But, and I think this is kind of a testament to it, is this stat. With Jokic on the floor this season, the Nuggets are second best team in the league. With him off the floor, they are by far the worst team in NBA history. I don't know about history, but we'll see. So with Jokic on the floor, the Nuggets have a plus 8.7 net rating, second only to the Bucks. In the 15 minutes per game that he sat, they have an abysmal minus 20 net rating.
Jeez.
Easily the worst. It's worse than the 2012 Bobcats.
Oh, my
shout
God.
Out Charlotte Bobcats.
I just got PTSD from that.
And 1993 Mavs record of, so both those teams had a net rating of 15.2.
Jeez.
So yeah, a team, yeah. So like a team with a Nuggets, without Jokic would be projected to go 5-77 over an 82-game season.
That's
how they're playing insane. Right now without Jokic on the court.
That's absolutely insane. I mean, yeah. Hey, Joker with the hard carry, man. He's just he literally is the carry on that team.
He's put him on his back. I mean, they're like, again, they haven't been doing great, but
yeah, they're okay. They're
he's been
they're he's nine if, right now.
Yeah, if they start winning some more, dude, he should be MVP combo. I mean, I think he is right now, but if they start winning again, I think he should be right up there with, 100%. Hey, shout out to Joel Embiid. Like, I think he should be number one right now.
Yeah, I think he is, actually.
Yeah, I think 76ers are fantastic, and he's a huge – I mean, he is the reason why.
Right.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Yeah. So, okay, I gotta ask this. Couple more things for NBA. One, Boogie got ejected the other night for a flagrant foul while they were playing the Lakers. He went to go swipe the ball and hit LeBron straight on the head with, like, his forearm. And it was pretty – I felt like it was pretty obvious he was trying to go for the ball, but – got called for the flagrant, got ejected. Now, I don't know if you saw the video, but do you think he deserved to get ejected, or was it really, did it all come from like his reputation?
I did see the video and I'm watching it right now, in fact. I think there's a lot of factors here. I think in today's NBA, with the rules how they are, I think, yeah, that's a flagrant. Now, the flagrant two, he got a flagrant two, which means he's ejected. A flagrant one, he wouldn't be ejected. I think a lot of factors go into it. I think, yeah, his reputation definitely does. And then also how it's against LeBron.
They got to protect the poster boy. Got it.
Got to protect him. So, yeah, I do think there's a little bit of factor, a little bit of history there. And, I mean, it was pretty nasty, like, looking at it and stuff, in the sense that, like, it was really quick swipe, and he hit him right on the head with kind of his elbow. The looks were not good. Again, in today's NBA, I mean, I have to be like, yes, he should be ejected, but that's only in, like, how the precedent that has been set, you know?
I mean, I definitely think that, like, I definitely think the players should be protected, you know, like in their safety and things like that. So yeah, it was probably should have been deemed a flagrant, but I don't know about flagrant two. I think it was pretty obvious he was mostly going for the ball, but again, his reputation does come into it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, when you kind of start with flagrant two, it's a little bit about intention,
right?
And with intention comes, yeah, what's your past, what's your history, what's your reputation. So
true.
Yeah,
I think that
definitely played a role. But it was weird. Did you see before in that game, earlier, Markieff Morris got ejected, but that was because he was like trying to fight Boogie. Did you see that?
Oh, I missed that. No.
Yeah. So, let me see. So, one of the Rockets players was coming across the lane, and Markieff Morris kind of pushed him, like gave him a good push, right? Yeah. And then DeMar's Cousins didn't like that, so he came by and gave him a little shove, like, ooh, within the game. Not even a shove, it was like a shoulder, like,
yeah, yeah, you know, hey, just a little check,
send him a little message. And for whatever reason, dude, Markieff Morris like went off. Like, I watched the video a lot, and I don't understand why he got so upset.
Is there some history between him and Boogie, though?
Probably.
There's gotta be.
There's probably history between the Morris twins and everybody. But true. It must be history, or they must have been talking and said something, but like, he just went off for this little shove. And again, it was in retaliation to his shove on the other
side. Yeah, like, you gotta expect it a little bit, right? Like, you can't dish it out if you can't take it.
Yeah, and Boogie, he took it well. He just, like, kind of laughed, and then he started walking towards his bench, like, all nonchalant, like, whatever, dude. But Markieff had to be held back and then started, like, following him to the bench. Jeez. And, like,
oh, come on, Chief Keefe. You can't,
like,
do
Montrez
that.
Was trying to, like, hold him back and stuff. Like,
oh, Chief Keefe, you know better than that, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
Honestly, though, yo, props to not backing down to Boogie, because Boogie's a scary man. I know they're all, you know, giants out there, but, like, dude, Boogie is huge and one of the most, like, thug players in the league. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if – I mean, if I was the size of Markieff Morris, I still don't know if I would try to stand up to Boogie like that.
Well, do you remember in Sacramento – some beat reporter like said had a report or something, said something bad about, I think, one of his family members, and in an interview right in front of his face, Boogie like slightly threatened him.
Don't remember that.
And I was like, oh no. I would not want to be that beat reporter right
not
now.
Not at all, dude. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you gotta pick your battles, and one of those is never with DeMarcus Cousins, please.
Yeah, please no. So Connor, you put here that Steve Kerr is underrated.
Okay, I'm not saying
Steve Kerr is underrated. Just like Connor.
All right, whatever. Hey, let me get into this really quick. Okay, so this came from you actually put this in there in our notes. We didn't really talk about it, but I guess we're going to talk about it now. There was Andrew Bogut. He came out and I guess said that Steve Kerr saved Draymond Green from going and playing overseas. And I guess it happened because like Mark Jackson just kept playing Draymond at the three, where that really wasn't his natural position. And then Steve Kerr came in and really put him in his natural role, put him back in the four position, and turned him into an all-star, one of the best defensive players in the league ever.
He must have been Mark Jackson just misusing him, like, you know, not unlocking this full potential, but
yeah, go ahead. Well, so I was just going to say, I feel like Steve Kerr really does go a little underappreciated or underrated as a coach, because
with three championships, right?
Shut up. Just listen to my reason.
Okay.
The thing is like, I feel like he gets looked at as he came into an already good, like onto an already good Warriors team. And we kind of mentioned this before, either we mentioned this or you talked about with Brent or something a couple weeks ago, where he came in at, you know, Mark Jackson was a little bit of a surprise firing that year. And then Steve Kerr comes in and they win the championship that next year. And I feel like people look at it as like, well, he was coming onto an already good Warriors team. So basically Mark Jackson is really the one that set him up for success. And, you know, to a degree, he did come in set up for success, but he's also the one that then pushed it there and got it that little bit further. And I feel like we've just seen more and more often that like Steve Kerr he's just a great coach. He is. He's a great coach in helping his guys get to where they can be, like we saw with Draymond Green.
No, I agree. I don't know about underrated, but I think that does maybe get overlooked is Steve Kerr. Dude, Steve Kerr implemented his own offense afterwards. He really like took a good team and made them great, and should not be overlooked. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I guess underrated is probably the wrong word here, but I do feel like, I just feel like he doesn't get all the credit he's due. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Interesting. Yeah. But he's a great coach. And I mentioned it before we were even talking, like he's been a great coach. He's been a pretty good GM. He was the GM for the Suns while they had the run, like Steve Nash days. He was incredible. He's just good everywhere he goes.
Yeah. He was great a pretty decent player Bulls. On the Bulls.
He was great on the Bulls. I mean, for his role, he was great on the Bulls. He was great on the Spurs. He was great. Like, just a great everywhere he goes. What can he do?
A great guy. Just a great guy.
Yeah.
No, and I feel like he gets a lot of hate because he's kind of a positive guy. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And everyone's going to hate someone for a reason when, like, I don't know, that person is like, I guess I'm talking like I,
when they're winning.
I always, yeah, like when they're winning or if they're, you know, beating their team, I should say. Cause like, you know, we were talking like, I always had a problem with LeBron, but I feel like I was just a LeBron hater. I've come to just appreciate his greatness. And we talked about like, there was definitely people that hated Jordan back in the day when Jordan was at the height of his fame and things like that. Like there was definitely people that hated him because they, you know, no one could stop him. Like he had to have hate for sure. And there's a lot of Steph Curry haters out there too, just because, I don't know, they don't like the shimmying, they don't like whatever all the other stuff he does, but like, I feel like part of it is just because like, you hate him because he's winning, or you hate him because he's beating your team, and I feel like Steve Kerr gets a lot of hate because he's winning, he's doing that stuff, but I don't know, I appreciate him just because he's a positive guy, he never seems to have a negative thing to say, unless it's I don't know, for a good cause, in my opinion, but...
You know what, I can sum this up pretty well, Connor. They hate us. Because they ain't us.
Oof. Couldn't have said it better myself.
And that's it, folks. See you next week. That would have been a really good place to end it, though.
True. Great. Now we got
to
keep going.
But we have to talk about some NHL. Connor, did you see any of the games last night? NHL started. I'm so excited for it. Let's go, baby.
Negative. I did not see any of the games. Oh. I'm sorry.
That's too bad. It is. Well, I made a promise to myself and to the NHL community that I would watch more games. So I actually did watch a few games last night. Pretty entertaining. I watched the Flyers and the Penguins, and then I watched a little bit of the Canadiens versus the Maple Leafs. Both pretty good games. But we really wanted to talk about...
The fact that the Canadiens are an actual team is fantastic. Because when you were saying, watch the Canadiens, I was like, which ones?
Exactly. I was thinking about that last time too. It's like, it's kind of like the Houston Texans, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah,
like that. A giant, they just claim scale. That. Yeah.
Seeing as Canada is the second largest country next to Russia, geographically. True.
Yeah. Yeah, and land size. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, what we really wanted to talk about is Gary Bettman, the commissioner for the NHL. He expects the NHL will lose more than $1 billion during the 2021 season.
Jeez.
And because of this, I think this is a huge reason why they also announced that they're going to start putting ads on the helmets. Wow. So yeah, they're going to allow, like, kind of how the NBA has a little patch, you know, right there. Yeah, they're going to start putting ads on helmets. And I brought it up too, that they're taking it even a step farther. They're freaking selling out everywhere they can, which, hey, go get your money, man. I mean, especially during this time.
Get the bag.
But, like we mentioned, how they kind of reshifted the divisions this year. Well, all the divisions are all have a sponsor. Like, for instance, the West Division is sponsored by Honda. North Division is sponsored by Scotia Bank. The East Division is sponsored by Mass Mutual. Central Division is sponsored by Discover. So, again, it's sort of a double-edged sword, because when they put the logo, the advertisements on the NBA jerseys, I was like, no, like, this is terrible, right? It hasn't been that bad. I still don't love it, but it's whatever.
Yeah,
some
of them are definitely worse than others, but yeah, I hear what you're
saying. Yeah, but it's kind of like, yeah, the fans get upset when, you know, they start bastardizing these these perfect uniforms, right?
Yeah, which I think is funny, because the most popular sport in the world, soccer, being, they have ads all over there. They have sponsors all over their jerseys. Yeah. No one cares.
Yeah, well, it's very international thing to do.
It's true.
I think.
Yeah.
Like, besides in American sports, I think besides maybe like the WNBA, they're not big. Like, the advertisements aren't big, and it's kind of a new thing again, besides the WNBA.
So that was what I kind of started thinking, and I just wanted to pose that question. Are we on the way to kind of that style? Like, do you think that it'll start going further and further, where they just allow a little bit more at a time, to the point where every sport's just a walking billboard?
I think it's inevitable. I mean, again, it's very popular internationally, and once, like, the NBA allowed, I didn't think the NBA was going to do it at all. Once they allowed the little logo on there, now the NHL's allowing the logo, not the logos, again, the advertisements on the helmets. And I mean, once the NFL starts putting on jerseys, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's like, they're the most, like, they make the most money. They're the ones that need it the least.
True.
So once they start putting it on there,
it's totally over. Yeah.
But I think it's kind of inevitable. I don't know when it'll happen. Like the WNBA jerseys and international jerseys, like the big logos, like in between the team name and the numbers and the logos and stuff. I think the NBA is on the path to that.
Right.
I just don't know how soon it'll be, because it took a while just to even get the little logo up top.
And I don't know. I agree, though. I think it's pretty much on the way. I don't know how soon, but I think in the next, I don't know, I'm going to say even like 20 years, we're going to start seeing more and more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, we got off topic just a little bit. But yeah, the NHL is expecting to lose $1 billion this year.
That's nutty.
And apparently I listened to somebody else talk about this. They said, I forget who, apologize, but they said that that's kind of where the NHL makes their money, is the TV deals and the gate tickets, you know, and without having fans, or maybe they'll have fans halfway through the season. Who knows? Kind of like how the NFL is doing it now.
Yeah.
Without that, like, yeah, $1 billion is a lot, and it's like they make the least amount of money out of the four major sports. It's like, can they afford to lose $1 billion? This is gonna be rough. It's gonna be rough for the NHL.
Yeah,
kind of the after effects for this.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. I guess. Yeah, that's why you have to start getting more and more into advertising revenue, rather than, like, you can't rely on the merchandise sales when the fans are in the stadium, things like that. Like, it's just not gonna happen. So
Which they also mentioned how the TV deal, I think, is up this year or the next year for the NHL. And that kind of made me wonder, yeah, it's like, if I want to go watch NHL, it's either NBC Sports Channel or nothing, right?
Like, I mean, pretty or your much. Local it's pretty, channel. It's pretty hard to find a hockey game on any major network unless you have like the NHL package, which unless you're a really hardcore fan, you don't have.
Exactly. Or a local channel. But so when this TV deal comes up, I mean, hopefully they can get into more channels, because just NBC SN is not enough. And honestly, as a casual fan, I like to see them on ESPN sometimes, and you know, if that's possible. But yeah, hockey is back, baby. We got NBA going crazy with the trades, and I'm sure that they're not done. Bradley Beal is still available, apparently. Just kidding. Hopefully not. I really hope they don't trade him. Please, no. He's amazing. And NFL football, man. NFL football playoffs. It's exciting time. To get the relief of sports.
Yeah, but seriously.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, guys. Please go follow us on social media at Two Tight Ends on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even YouTube. You guys can follow me at The Thrill Can Kill 5. Connor, where can they go follow you?
You can follow me at Moco, that's MOCO.CUDE on Instagram. But really just go follow us at the Two Tight Ends social media. That's where we're going to be posting most of our stuff. We need to be a little more active on there. I was thinking about that this week, actually. But we are going to try to be a little bit more active and really try to post some new things on there.
Oh, yeah. Get you all excited for it. But hey, Connor, what did we learn today?
Well, Neil, if there's anything we've learned today, it's that Kelly Oubre should probably pass more, and they hate us because they ain't us.
Amen, brother. And remember, guys, kids are for kids.
Skids are for kids.
All right. Have a good week.
See ya. That's what you stood by your side through all of the lies, watching you cry for me.